Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn,
we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here. He writes for the Chicago Tribune, as you know. And Wendy, you just suggested that he possibly give you a haircut for reasons I don't fully understand.
We need more layers.
What's that all about?
We great fathers are great at giving haircuts.
Is that true?
To boys. Absolutely.
Did you give your son a haircut when he was growing up? Your son?
Pretty much no.
No?
I didn't. My dad used to give me haircuts.
That was a standard that everybody's dad.
Because everybody had the clippers and would just, yeah, it was the same cut. I'll take a number five.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, we take our kids to this place called Snippets.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is.
You know that?
Or Whippersnippers. And
you have to sit in a little chair.
It's cool.
A little car that was like a chair. And, and they would play videos to distract you. And they had really talented entertainers. I don't know how great they were at cutting hair, but they were really good at distracting kids. Because haircuts can be traumatic for little kids. So when your dad, big kids.
When your dad would give you a haircut, was it the same thing where you would sit on like a some sort of a stool type chair up on the table? They would cover the table. Was that standard for you as well?
Yes, and he would put a big bed sheet around
me and
pin it to my neck, and then they would sweep up afterwards.
Why couldn't the Flo-Bi have been invented then?
Were you in the crew cut mode then?
No, never. I never had a crew cut.
I had one for a while.
Did you?
You did? Yeah. You look like you'd have a crew cut.
I had one for several years.
He could rock a crew cut, I think.
And almost joined the Navy. But I already had the haircut, so I went, I should just join.
I did shave my head when my wife was going through chemo.
Really?
So that was 20 years ago.
I love when people do that.
I do, too.
So
it shows good unity.
It really didn't, you know, because I look like Aryan youth. I look like I was joining like a skinhead movement. It didn't really work for me, but I did keep it. So,
what a nice gesture. That's so nice of you to do.
I'm a nice guy, despite what they say.
No, you are a very nice man.
True, no.
Eric, from time to time we talk about tweets. You usually have on a monthly basis the funniest tweets of the month, but now you have a special edition of these. These are for Halloween, right?
These are for Halloween. These are the top 10 Halloween tweets of all time.
Of forever?
Forever. Right. Yeah. Number one, the best Halloween costume is Amelia Earhart. All you have to do is not show up to the party.
That's very funny.
I'm done, sir, then.
One time I wore my brother's T-shirt, and my dad asked me if I was dressing up as his favorite child for Halloween. That was from Conan O'Brien. I'll put these online.
Yeah, along with who you can attribute them to.
What is going on with my phone?
And Eric is now going to break into song.
We are required to have a little musical mobile that goes around Eric's head.
Keeps him interested.
Yes.
Yep.
Kind of like a baby's
crib. Look at the duckies, Eric.
I can't even mute this thing.
That's all right.
Gosh.
We'll just edit this out.
You know what that was? I have this thing called Tile that if you touch the Tile button on your phone, it finds your keys, and vice versa.
Yeah.
If you touch the button on your keys, it'll find your phone. Well, I must have just shifted uncomfortably in my chair here because I'm feeling so uncomfortable.
Oh.
And that must have set that off. And you can't stop it until you...
Are you more uncomfortable now?
Yeah, I am. But we've given another tech lesson, because you're tech-friendly audience people. Number three, I don't care that he's a four-year-old child. His pirate costume is historically inaccurate garbage, and he needed to be told. This Halloween, I'm going to dress up as me from last Halloween when I dressed up as future me.
Oh, I like that.
That's good.
You like that? For your Halloween party, I'm going as a guy not going. If you come to my house this Halloween, you're getting Tums.
What?
Tums.
Why'd you point to me?
Because you haven't bought your Halloween candy yet.
I bought two bags, but we've kind of eaten them.
It's not enough. After a certain age, the only Halloween costume you feel like wearing is Brian Wilson's bathrobe. Cashier, look at all this candy. You're going to have a lot of happy kids this Halloween. Me, it's Halloween?
Oh, good. Good.
My daughter wants to be something scary for Halloween this year, so she's going to carry a school fundraising packet to every door. And the last one is the one that I'm doing this too. I'm probably just going to be sexy dad for Halloween again this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's your tweet?
No, it's not mine.
No.
But I relate to it. So.
A lot of these are based on the theme that some of us don't really want to dress up very much. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
When's the last time either of you dressed up for Halloween? It's been a very long time for me.
I think high school.
Can I tell you that 48% of American adults dress up for Halloween this
they
year?
They do?
48%.
I wouldn't have guessed anywhere near that high.
The three of us are the only ones who don't.
It seems like it sometimes, doesn't it?
It has become very, very popular over the last decade. The National Retail Federation says we spend $9 billion this year. We're spending it on Halloween, whether it be decorations, candy, or costumes, things of that nature.
See, and if you get invited to anything Halloween-related, any kind of Halloween parties,
sick.
And you don't, but if you don't dress up, you're ridiculed when
that's
you get there.
That's why I don't go.
Yeah, it's best not to.
Well, that's
go
why
there,
you
right?
have a line like "I'm going as me from last year." When
right.
I dressed up as Future Me.
So right. You need something like that.
Yeah, you need a way out. Well, it's you know, Halloween has become this kind of this excuse for adults. They've taken this child's holiday and turned it into something with an excuse to get drunk and be silly. So.
And we've noticed.
I don't need a costume for that.
Right. It's a daily basis. Mm-hmm. We've noticed that now Halloween is also whereas you used to try to find a costume, now you have to find a costume that has the word sexy or naughty attached to it.
Or slutty. Yeah.
Yeah.
20% of costumes are made as the result of Pinterest.
Really?
No, I'm serious.
I love Pinterest. Yeah. I'm not kidding you.
16% of people dress up their pets on Halloween.
Not me.
Yeah.
And, but just to be bold enough to say, I'm not just a French fry, I'm a sexy French fry. Nobody's a sexy French fry. There's no such thing as a sexy French fry. Onion ring, yes, but not French fry.
Someone suggested the best Halloween costume this year would be to go as Jared Kushner in a war zone. Do you remember that when he was wearing that little vest and he was hanging around all the soldiers and he looked like just the class dweeb?
I know.
That would have been a great costume to wear. And have anybody heard about any great costumes that people are wearing?
Not yet.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be a terrific costume, you know, with
a lot of people are going. I've seen a lot of kids dressed as Elle from Stranger Things on Facebook. Because really all you need is a pink dress, short hair, and tube socks from the 70s with green and yellow stripes at the top.
That's how easy it is.
Have you guys seen the David S. Pumpkins?
Yes.
Outfits?
Yes.
Those are pretty
funny.
Good.
There's a bunch of those.
I don't. You still enjoyed it? Did you watch it this weekend?
Yeah, they did an animated special at 10:30 on Saturday, which I can't figure out who it's for because it seemed like something that was for kids, but it was on a 10:30 on a Saturday night. So, and parts of it, I have to be honest, there were a couple of pretty funny lines in there. It wasn't hysterical, but it was easy to watch.
So did you watch that instead of the World Series?
No, I kept switching back and forth. I kept going back and forth.
Picture in picture?
Yeah, I did some picture in picture.
I do that with the World Series sometimes.
Do you?
Because you don't have to really listen to them talk. You can watch the
game. Just go to the action.
Baseball unfolds rather slowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially last night's game.
Yeah.
But that was an amazing game.
Let's take a quick break, and then more of Eric Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
$10.
$5.
$8, and I'll do it.
Fine.
Help! I've escaped from Kevin Spacey's basement. Help me!
Oh, it's funny you bring up Kevin Spacey, Stewie, because Kevin Spacey is in a little bit of a stew himself, isn't he, Eric?
Wow, is that a good transition? He
really
is a radio.
Good.
That's a radio professional right there.
Thank you.
This was featured on The Family Guy
years ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out if we have a date for it. I'll look for that. But it seems, because remember, Bill, you had said something like Bill Cosby's jokes were featured in 30 Rock.
And Kevin Spacey is made fun of. Did you ever see the show Difficult People? It's on Hulu.
No.
It's really funny. A guy named Billy Eichner from Northwestern has this show where he and an actress are just mean to people for a half an hour a week.
Oh, I've seen. He runs
really
around
funny.
The streets and
oh, no, that's
people.
Billy on the street. Same guy,
same
but a
guy.
Different show.
Okay.
But this is a sitcom about an actor and an actress. And he does at least one Kevin Spacey joke per episode. And it's always kind of alluding to what we just found out about Kevin, or alleged to have found out about
alleged,
Kevin Spacey.
Alleged to find out about it.
Yeah.
Very disappointing, of course, to hear. I'm a big fan of House of Cards and Kevin Spacey's work in general. It has that menace to it.
Yeah.
But allegations for people who haven't been following this, an actor, Anthony Rapp is
Anthony
his name?
Anthony Rapp, yeah.
Says that about must have been 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, he was 14 at the time.
He was 14. They were acting in Broadway. He was acting in Broadway in a play with Kevin Spacey, and that after hours, they went back to Kevin Spacey's apartment and had too much to drink. And then he alleges that Kevin Spacey forced himself on Anthony Rapp, and he has been suppressing this or not talking about it for all these years. And he decided in the Me Too spirit of the hashtag Me Too and all the stuff that's coming out now, he was going to talk about this. Kevin Spacey came out with a statement saying that he doesn't remember this. particular incident.
He apologized, but he didn't remember it.
But he apologizes for it, and he sort of intimates that this would not have been out of character for him. And at this, and in the course of this statement he released, he also said that he is living as a gay man. He said, basically, I've had sex with men, sex with women, but I now choose to live as a gay man. And people in the gay community are fairly upset about this because he seems to link his own alleged predatory behavior with being gay.
Right.
And this is, of course, one of the things that is one of the slams against gay people, which is not true, which is that they have some sort of are extra, more likely to be pedophiles or something like that.
Well, so they're two different things. And because at first I thought this is a time to reveal he's gay because he's like, it was a boy or a man. I like men. It was kind of a perfect opportunity to say, I am gay. I don't remember doing it, but it could have happened because I'm attracted to men. The 14-year-old is what's so troublesome.
Well, that's what makes it really bad. I'm not sure. I don't know what their various power roles were back then. I don't think he was the guy's boss or anything like that. But the fact that he was 14 really makes it a terrible thing. The fact that it was 30 years ago, how do we feel about that? I mean, Dennis Hastert's crimes were with boys about that age. And those were 40 years ago. And we still take those very seriously. It seems to me that this is probably the kind of thing that is likely to spell the end of his acting career.
How about that? Wouldn't that be something?
Can I just tell you that the Daily Mail has released some information? Kevin Spacey is named as the Hollywood star accused of assaulting a TV news anchor's loved one years ago. Heather Unruh said the Weinstein scandal gave her courage to accuse Spacey. She said, I was a Kevin Spacey fan until he assaulted a loved one. She has refused to name the relative, but she wants Spacey investigated. On October 13th, she said that.
Well, Mark Halperin's career. Now, this is ABC
Game Change.
He's the former ABC political director. He was a regular on Morning Joe.
The circus he's had ties to.
The circus. Not Barnum and Bailey Circus, but
no,
the TV
on Showtime.
The Showtime show, The Circus. His career seems to be over. HBO yanked a deal with him. His publisher yanked the deal with him. NBC, I think, just this morning formally severed ties with him.
And Showtime.
And these are over. Yeah. These are over workplace allegations. Pretty skeezy ones too, from when he was at ABC. So these aren't particularly recent. The Kevin Spacey, I don't know how old this accusation you're talking about here is, but the
30 plus years.
But the one with Anthony Rapp is 30 years. It's more than 30 years. But even still, I think these are the kinds of things that you don't just get over. You don't get a second chance after something like that. And it's too bad because he's a very talented actor, and I really I love the House of Cards franchise, but I can't imagine anything's going to really
rebound from this.
I don't know that you do from an accusation like that.
And Bill, I brought up the Family Guy thing. It seems like it was kind of a running joke. Same thing with Cosby. So does this mean more things are going to surface? Is the shoe just
with
start?
Kevin Spacey, you have to wonder, right? Yeah, isn't that scary?
Who do we know that? I mean, aren't you worried like who the next person is that we're going to find out stuff on?
I am. Now, I had a conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend who's not in the entertainment industry at all. And he said, I know of a couple instances for what I do for a living where people with power, people higher up, have taken advantage of women and men below them. He said, and I was talking to a friend of mine who told a similar story about his industry. He said, so even though this is, it's witch hunt season, and rightfully so in show business, he said, I bet this is something, it's the beginning of something with all industries where they take a look at themselves and they say it's too easy for people to take advantage of other people.
I basically think that's a great thing, because I think what is going to help put a stop to this is
exposing it.
Well, it's going to be the fact that it as of now, the risk is much, much higher.
Sure.
Yep.
The people who think that, in the office, I can get away with this because I'm powerful, because she'll never say anything or he'll never say anything. One of the things that came up for me over the weekend, I wrote a column about, talking about this workplace situation, mostly, and also social, between men with power and women of lesser stature, and talking about how men should be treating women, and also colleagues in the workplace, too. And it focused completely on male-female relationships. And my basic thrust was that, you know, the golden rule is do unto others as you should want. And I wanted to sort of expand that and say, well, you should treat women the way you would want another man to treat your sister.
Yeah.
Or your daughter, or your wife, or your mother.
Right.
That's perfect, have that kind of circular awareness of what's going on here. But there are so many people who feel like they can get away with this. But as the risks go up, that, you know, if someone who is in a position of say a Mark Halper now, who has been pushing these boundaries or crossing these lines, has to pull back. Now knows that, look, I mean, if you look at what happens, and this is why it's such an object lesson. Look at Mark Halperin 2 weeks ago was flying high. I mean,
sure.
He writes these best-selling books. They turned into movies, right? Game Changers turned into a movie. He's a panelist on the real popular morning show. He's got an HBO
all over the place.
Show. All over the place. And it's all gone.
Within a matter of a weekend.
Over a very short time. And so people have got to think when they're about ready to, you know, rub themselves against a coworker or something that you know, their reputation, their career.
Right.
In some cases, I don't know about Halper. I don't think he was married, but your marriage can fall apart. Weinstein's marriage fell apart.
Yeah, fast.
All these things can, your family, everything, you can lose everything when you do this kind of stuff. And I think that that's basically a good thing. That
yeah.
Should be
but didn't
other,
we all know that before?
No,
why
I
did
don't
it
think,
take...
I don't think we did. I don't think
really?
There was...
To some extent, yes, but I'm sure there were plenty of people who thought they were immune to it.
I guess.
I can get around it. Other people couldn't, but I bet
I
could.
Well, I'm thinking, there's a big difference between me and Cosby, right? You say, well, Cosby
right.
Was drugging women and having sex with them. I'm just rubbing myself against them or whatever.
Right.
Now, someone's going to take that sound clip out of context. I know,
already
I know,
been done.
I know how
Nick DiGilio,
I know how those media people work.
Yep.
Right?
Eric, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it. It's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.